welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
And on the line with me, I have Dr. Lara Greaves. How are you this morning?
Morena, I'm great, thanks.
Good. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the responses to the anti-vaccine mandate protest, which we are seeing down in the capital. Politically, there has been a fairly uniform decision to not engage with the protesters, although there have been a few exceptions in the last couple of days from the likes of Winston Peters. What's your opinion of the parliamentary response to the protest?
So I'm finding that really interesting. One of the really kind of key points is that I can't see is that we're not seeing anyone starting to crack down on the protesters. And I'm potentially wondering if that's whether it's kind of, in some lights, a right-leaning protest. So we normally see at least some politician, if we look at Putuki Bay, Ihu Matau, any Māori-based kaupapa protest, that's where you do get people saying, oh, we need to crack down. And I just haven't seen that come through. Like, we haven't seen, like, Simeon Brown say, oh, Labor's being soft on crime, we need to bring the cops in. Like, we haven't, and crack down, we haven't seen anything like that. So that's been quite an interesting, like, ideological gap, whereas I think a lot of the general public potentially are there, and that's where their thoughts are. I think it's been interesting seeing Winston Peters pop up again, and we've seen him, and Shane Jones kind of take more of a, maybe listening, kind of open, that kind of coded language when it comes to the protesters and comes to people that are anti-mandate, anti-vaccines. So it's interesting to see them try to pop up again on our political spectrum, because it's a bit hard and weird not having New Zealand First there, considering they've kind of been there for quite a long time. And that's why I wonder if National is a little bit skittish, because of the whole idea of New Zealand First popping back up again. So if you did have a reliable New Zealand First sitting there reliably grabbing those voters, the kind of more suspicious anti-government, anti-establishment voters, then you've got them to have to contest with when it comes to MMP. You've got them taking up part of the voter block, and you've got them, Winston Peters dislikes National. So then that also creates a problem. So I do wonder the extent to which then National are trying to cover off those voters as well.
Mm. There have also been concerns raised by the use of tikanga Māori, and also the tangata whenua in Pōneke have said that they want the protesters to leave. They said this 7 days ago. What's the mana whenua response been like to the protest?
I think this is one of those things where we look at diversity within the broad group that we call Māori, so we know there's like a huge variation in connection to like to where you're from, your hapu, iwi, marae. There's a huge connection in knowing that and like caring about your culture and engaging with your culture. And so I think that this is where we're seeing that disconnect play out, that there is a high percentage Māori in the protest, whether people measure that by just looking at the crowd, or David Farrar, the National Party pollster, actually sent some pollsters into the crowd to ask for their ethnicity, and Māori were about 30%, although, you know, we'd hard to tell with those sorts of surveys. But so I think that's where we're seeing, like, groups of Māori in that protest that don't necessarily have a lot of respect for mana whenua and have a lot of respect for iwi and Māori organisations, because they disengage with most forms of authority, or not necessarily able to engage with those sorts of groups. So I think this is where we are seeing something kind of interesting play out within connections to te ao Māori, and we're seeing that play out in the online space as well.
Hmm. And we've also seen a new strategy of de-escalation from the police, helmed by Police Commissioner Andrew Costa. And this seems to have been met with a mixed response. What do you think of the police approach?
It's a tricky one for the police, and I would definitely recommend Dominic O'Sullivan's got a piece in the conversation that was on the spin-off as well, talking about the independence of the police, because that's that tricky line where I think people see government as this amorphous blob and they go, well, why can't Ardern send in the police to do this, or why can't Mallard do this? Like, having this idea that there is that disconnect or separation of powers there. I think that the softer policing, people have been targeting Andrew Costa and saying that it's a softer type of policing, and that's where, as I mentioned before, it's strange that we don't necessarily see Simeon Brown or someone go after that, and I wonder if that is a specific strategy to not be those people that are kind of hard, like, necessarily those sort of populists. It's a strange strategy there. But I think ultimately the police, like, so I've been down to Wellington. I was down there last week and walked through the crowd and had, you know, I had a lot of thoughts as a sort of political scientist who studies collective action, among other things, before I went and walked through the protest. But one thing to note for everyone is that it is massive because of the sheer number of cars everywhere. And so it is creating a huge number of, like, access issues. And you really have to feel for those businesses and individuals around. But I can see where the dilemma lies and how complex of a situation it is. So I think ultimately it's one of those ones where nobody wins, police don't win. But one of the things I would double back to is that police have a fairly high level of trust among the New Zealand public generally, although we know that there's pockets of the population, Māori, Pacifica and other groups that don't have that trusting relationship. The police are generally very trusted in New Zealand. So I think the main thing here is just not doing anything that's deemed to be too aggressive to kind of affect that relationship with the broader general public. Like if there was, you know, especially with children involved, that's where you head into some very tricky territory where there could be a sympathetic story or certain imagery that could affect that overall trusting relationship.
Now, when you were down there, and just what we've also seen in the media, it's a protest that looks very different to the types of protests that we're used to seeing in Aotearoa. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, look, I felt really, really sad walking through the protest. You know, it's that thing where you see people in the media. I think everyone, when people see this kind of protest in the media, they go, who would think about, oh, the spike proteins have killed my lamb, and they kind of think that's funny. Mm. But when you go and walk through and, like, see people's faces, and we received no harassment or anything, even though we were wearing our, like, intense P2 masks. When you go and walk through it, you do see a lot of people with their disinformation signs up. You see people that, like, you kind of feel like, and I think this is the hard thing, is everyone's got an auntie or a cousin or someone that they know or someone they care about has someone that they know and care about that has fallen down this rabbit hole. So when you walk through, you just generally, or we felt very kind of sad about it, because it's like, here you've got a group of people that are disaffected. They're willing to put everything on the line. They're willing to just, you know, like, cars are an asset. They're willing to go and park their cars somewhere there and willing to sit there for what could be weeks and months, because that's how on the outside of our society that they are. And that feels like very unequal and really quite sad that that's where we're at. And that's the big dilemma, I think. And Jack Tame and Kylie Quince in Q&A had a discussion about this in their first episode a couple of weeks ago. And it's like, then how do you bring them back into the society and back into the fold? And that's going to be one of the really pressing issues for New Zealand going forward, is how you bring all those misinformation people back in.
What do you think would need to... Oh, hello?
Okay.
Hi. What do you think would need to happen politically or on a community level to bring the protesters back in to society in a positive way?
This is like a super tricky thing that I've been thinking about. So one thing is that we know that a lot of the disinformation and misinformation type stuff has been transplanted from the US into New Zealand, where people, they have this false medical knowledge that is kind of quite generic, anti-vax, but then they also have this false legal knowledge, which is very American in its context around the First Amendment and all that sort of stuff. So you've got these people that have got this misinformation, disinformation, transplanted from overseas, but then, of course, the solutions are perhaps a bit different because, like, we do know that there's greater Māori representation there, for example. So then it comes back to, is how do you do that for the New Zealand context and those, like, the things that have bred that distrust and that mistrust in the first place? And that's, you know, relating to, I think a lot of people have had those negative experiences with medicine, with Western, that border medicine. People have had those negative experiences with authority and the government. So it's like it then becomes a case of, I guess it's part of it's the listening, and that's the frustration, and that's what the politicians have tried to do. And a lot of people have been discussing about the ethics of listening when there's the hang 'em high chalked on the pavement, that sort of thing. But I think that that's where it's like getting different community figures to be able to, and people with some trusting relationships to those people, to be able to bring them back in. And I haven't seen anything yet campaign-wise or anything in the public domain really that has been very constructive in how to do that. And that's like, yeah, a very, like, it's the solution will be quite, I think, quite community and quite New Zealand specific.
And the Prime Minister throughout the duration of the protest has had a pretty firm stance on non-engagement. She has now also given indication that it will be some time past the peak of the outbreak before we see any type of mandate rollback. How has the opposition responded to this?
So one of the things that Christopher Luxon has done is talked about a divided society, and that's kind of, I think a lot of people were commentating that that's not particularly a good strategy there. I think that all of this stuff around the different phases, around the RAT tests and around the fact that, like, I swear most of the people we know are currently close contacts, all of this stuff, confusion and sacrifice around there does present an opportunity to sort of score points against the government, although that's a very sceptical way to put it. And that's where it's like, it's not clear whether we're going to see cut through, whether, like, this timing for where we're sitting now in early 2022, when there's an election later in 2023, whether that's the kind of timing where you even would have that those dynamics of support change and Labor potentially lose. So I think that what we've seen from Luxon is not necessarily any credible alternative presented there, although we have seen him sort of speak about specific groups such as the grounded Kiwis overseas and those sorts of things. But I think, again, they're in that situation. They're in a situation that's tricky and kind of unprecedented on exactly how to win, you know, up against a two-term government is going to be hard for 2023, but also exactly how to position yourself when the public health response has been good is an incredibly tricky thing. And I don't think going down the rhetoric of we're a divided society is necessarily the way to do that when there's not a heap of evidence or data to suggest that we really are a divided society. So it's not necessarily clear what their strategy is there and where they're differentiating themselves from ACT and New Zealand First in that space.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Dr. Lara Greaves, talking about responses to the anti-vaccine mandate protest down in Pōneke. We'll talk to you soon and have a lovely rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.